You know, that song tells us about two different times of our life.
Yes.
The mountain and the valley. And every one of us have had a taste of both of them. You know, we need the Lord just as much on top of the mountain.
Yes.
As we do down in the valley. Sometimes we have some things that I feel like, you know what, I can handle this one. And I'm not talking about in my head, I know I need the Lord always. But sometimes in my heart, there are places that I can do this. But I've got a song I'd like for us to start with, if you don't mind. It's number 30 in the Blue Book. This song, I want it to be more than just head knowledge.
Yeah.
I want it to be down in my heart. Number 30 in the Blue Book, I need thee every hour. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour. In joy or pain, come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thine indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. So with that song, I have to say, is that really my testimony? Lord, I need you every hour.
Yes, amen.
Now, there's times in my life where I don't even try to rely on my own ability. I go straight to the Lord. We can have sickness. We can have death of a loved one. We can have some financial crisis. We can have some big things happen. And I don't go around the bush. I go straight to the Lord. I need that. But you know, in our life, what I'd like to look at are the other times. The times that, yes, Lord, I do need you. It's in my head I need you. But there are things that I can do on my own. And I've likened this, and the young people will probably understand this. When we were young people, we were playing volleyball. And you will be on one side and you see it's the perfect one coming. It's high, it's arched over, and it's coming right to you. And you will let everybody else know to stay back. It's mine. I got it. And it's going to be perfect, and I'm going to make this perfect point. And you realize how easy you can just have your wrist twisted just a little bit the wrong way. And instead of the perfect point, it's out of bounds. From I've got this one, to where, nope, I don't have it. You know, that's the way it is in life. So many times, I got it. And I believe the Lord, I want the Lord to be with me all the time. But I can have those I got it moments. I had one of them a few weeks ago. I've got a car that runs on CNG. And I pulled up to a station early in the morning, and they had lowered the price of CNG to 79 cents a gallon. Boy, that just made something feel good inside of me. I got it. This is going to be one wonderful day. Well, I went to the pump, filled my car up, and it took like $4 to fill it up. I'm feeling great. You can move from I got it to no, I don't have it. I disconnected. It puts 3,600 pounds pressure in my tanks. And I disconnected the hose to hang it up, and there's a check valve right in the nozzle of my car that keeps the gas that I just put in there, keeps it in. Well, something happened to that check valve. When I took it off, now the gas is spraying out the nozzle, and there's not a thing I can do about it. I try to put it back on, try again, it doesn't work. Well, you have just so many minutes of it till your car now has no gas in it. And so I think, okay, I'm about 3 miles from work, if I can just get to work. So I take off with the gas spewing out of my little nozzle, and I pull down in the basement of the garage, and then I realize, wait a minute, in the basement is not a good place to have a CNG car blowing gas out. And immediately my day is ruined from I got it, this is 79 cent gas, and it's a wonderful day. And I want you to relate to some of your days here, because I got it. No, now I need the Lord so much. Lord, have mercy on me. Because you know what, to keep on spewing out, that's a CNG only. When it all goes out, now the car won't even run. Well, I did find out that if I turned my key off, that it would spew a little bit and then it would quit, which doesn't really help me out a whole lot, because for me to get anywhere, I got to turn it back on again. And those kind of times, I had another time after that. Driving my pickup, the pickup has been dependable. Everything has been wonderful. You know how many, you can go a few times of everything going good, and you just have that feeling, everything's going to be all right. And I got off at the off-ramp, had not had trouble with that vehicle at all. Got off at the off-ramp to Guthrie after going to work one day. And when I got ready, I stopped. And when the light turned green, I got ready to go. I punched on the gas and nothing happened. I saw all the lights were on. Well, it had died. Well, that's no big deal. So cars lined up behind me, but I'll have this thing going in a minute. I start it and it's just run, 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 run. And you think, okay, I'll switch it. Something must have happened to my CNG. It wasn't empty, but I'll switch over to regular gas. Switch it over, and it does the same thing. In 10 seconds, you can move from, I got this one. This one is going to be a good day right here. To where I really need the Lord real bad.
Yes.
Well, you know what, really? I needed him real bad before, and I just was dependent on my own self. I'd like for us to look at a verse to start with. Psalms 103. And 14, because I believe the Lord is interested in us realizing how much I need him every hour. Because you know what? He really knows who I am and where I came from. We're talking this morning about sometimes we can have a physical problem and we realize how much we need the Lord. Well, you know, you can be real healthy, everything going well, and you think, you know what? My health is kind of under control here. Have you ever gotten a Charlie horse in the night? Life is great. You're sleeping sound. Do you just turn back over and say, well, I'm going back to sleep, I don't want to wake up? I've gotten those maybe about two or three times in my life. And when I get it, everything else leaves your mind. You're out of the bed trying to stretch your foot. What can I do? What if that didn't quit? What if it just stayed that way for a long period of time? We couldn't handle it. We're from sound asleep, life is good, to where I've got this thing, and Lord, I need you so bad right now. Would you please have mercy on me? The things that we need, look at this in Psalms 103 and 14. He remembereth our frame He remembereth that we are dust. The Lord realizes all the time where I came from. And you remember when Paul was talking to them at Mars Hill, he said, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things.
Yes.
It came from the Lord. And I need to be able to recognize that, because there's another verse I want to look at in Proverbs. And this is a pretty strong verse. It says there are some things that God hates. 6 and 16 of Proverbs says, these 6 things doth the Lord hate. Yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. And so he's going to start out kind of listing them. And usually if you see a list, I would kind of think, well, the first one's maybe his most important. His first one that he said is, one of the first things I hate is a proud look. Now, what's the reason for that? Because it starts saying to him and to others around me, I got it. I can take care of this. I got it under control. The definition for that says an inordinate self-esteem, a self-esteem that goes farther than it ought to go in my life. And I thought about Nebuchadnezzar. When he came to a place to where God is going to take some time to humble Nebuchadnezzar.
Yes.
And you remember where he had been warned a year before, he had been warned that, you know what, if you change your ways, if you will serve the Lord, maybe this dream that you have had won't come to pass. And it says that he went out on to, as he walked in his house one day, it didn't say that he got together thousands of people and told them what a great person he was. It's almost like it was in his thoughts. He walked in his house and he said, is not this great Babylon, this is in Daniel 4, the 4th chapter, 30th verse, is not this great Babylon that I have built by the might of my power for the honor of my majesty? And God brought him down. To where at the time that Nebuchadnezzar came back from eating grass like an ox, he was looking at life different then. He said, those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Have you ever had the Lord to bring you down, to humble you?
Yes.
Because you remember, sometimes it may not even be that I said it to other people. You know, I look at Nebuchadnezzar and I would never go to somebody and say, I want you to take a look at what I've got. Look what I've been able to do. No, I wouldn't say that. But you know what? There's a danger of us ever even letting the thought be entertained in our mind. Because you remember the man that had the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Luke 12 and 16. And he did not even tell others about it. Maybe if he was married, maybe he never even told his wife. It says he thought within himself, saying. It's possible that it never even became a spoken word. But he had some thoughts that were not acceptable to the Lord. And you remember where it came. It said, this day, what's going to happen to all those things that you had before? So I want to be careful in my own life. I want to be able to please the Lord. I've had some things happen where I look back, and you know what? It was years ago that it happened, but it's almost like it was yesterday in my mind as a reminder for me. Don't ever get the feeling like you can handle something on your own, because God can change it for us, just like Nebuchadnezzar, to where we will recognize it was God. When I first got out of air conditioning school, at the end of it, as graduations will be, you know, we're all nervous about going out and getting into the workplace. So they're telling me, as they told everybody else, you are good. You know your business. You can do it. Don't let anybody tell you you can't. You're going to be an asset to some company that hires you. And somehow I believed them. So I went out and I hired on to an air conditioning company in War Acres. And on the first day that I went into work, it's summertime, and the tickets are already piling up. And so he asked me on the first day, he said, what about it? He said, I'll go with you on some of them if you need me to. I said, oh, no. I got my service truck here. I got my, just hand me the tickets and I'll go get started on them for you. And because I had been through air conditioning school, I had done the book work, and I had gone out in the shop, and they had air conditioners tore apart where I learned the contactors. I learned where these things are on that unit. Well, when I got to that house and I walked into there and I opened the closet door because there's a problem with the furnace blower, it was not one of those units that I'd worked on before. It did not look like it. If I would have stopped and thought it through, it had the same components. They might have been in different places. But just all of a sudden, all of my self-confidence evaporated. And it's a hot day. While I'm standing there looking at this furnace, there's more tickets coming in that need to be run back there at the office. And all of a sudden, I don't have a clue where to start to work on this. I stand there looking at it for a little bit, and then I say, you know what? This isn't going to work. Because if I go back to him this evening and I still got all this stack of tickets and he say, what'd you do? I say, I looked at it all day long and I didn't do a thing. So I went back to the office. You know, back then we didn't have cell phones where we could call him. So I drove back to the office hoping he'd be there, and sure enough he was. I think he knew I was coming back, that I'd be back in a little bit. And I told him, I said, I thought I could do it, but I'm going to have some help. So he worked with me. He took me on some calls, and my confidence built, and I got to where over time I could work on them. I could repair about anything that came in. Well, you know, this message is not good enough to get it one time, and I got it. Tomorrow I'm going to need to have a little reminder of it again, as I did then. So time passed by, and now I am good. I can take the tickets, and I can run them. I can do them. I'm an asset to the company. So I went one morning, it's wintertime now, went to a guy's house on a Saturday morning, and I can see his garage just like I was there yesterday. It's been 40 years ago. The furnace blower was messed up, and it's going to have to be pulled out. So I pull it out, and I set it in the floor, and I work on it, and I get it working. Well, that's a good feeling, but before I put it back in, I'm going to test it. And he's standing out there watching me. But you know, and you know, to a beginner, that would intimidate a beginner, but not me, because I know what I'm doing. He can watch me if he wants to. I'll show him what I'm doing. So, and you know, all this time the Lord's watching. He didn't stop this back with Nebuchadnezzar. He is interested in it for us today. So I've got it in the floor, and I'm going to run me a little test cord over there to run it for a little bit and make sure everything's okay. And I start it up, and I'm so glad the thing cranks up good. It's running good. And I have on one of these hooded sweaters with those strings that hang down from it. And I lean over to check it. And when I did, if it would have just caught, if the Lord would have allowed just one string to get caught, it would have just sucked it out of my hood and everything would have been fine. But he allowed both strings to catch. And so as it tightened down, what it did was it gave me a window about like this to look out. And the man is watching to see what I know about working on this. You know what? Immediately you go from, I got it, to where, no, I don't have it. And I believe in life, the Lord is in it. I thought, Nebuchadnezzar, why would he spend that much time with Nebuchadnezzar back there? Because he realizes how bad it is for us to get to a place where I got it. I can do this now on my own. And I'm starting to realize, you know what? I need him every hour. I need whenever I do the things that... those things that I'm just, I can do it on my own. Well, yes, I can, but you know, one little kink in it can turn everything around. And I have started finding in my life that it's a good thing to tell the Lord on the simple things that I'm doing, I'd appreciate your help here. Because I'm starting to learn that it doesn't matter if I know how to do it, anything can happen, and it changes it instantly. I had an old motorhome I was needing to get rid of, and I needed to work on it before I did. And in working on it, there's places you're laid over the inside there, and I had to put a nut on something. And I'm trying to be real careful, and I drop it. And I hear it clinking, but it doesn't sound like it hits the ground, and I've got to have it. You know, those kind of places where it's pretty good to be able to say, Lord, I tell you what, I sure need you to help me out. And I crawled underneath it. I looked all over and couldn't find it and went back up again. All the time I'm asking, Lord, would you help me? You know, I believe he's interested in being that kind of a God to us if we'll let him. And it just happened to be that my light flickered just right. And that nut had fallen down in a belt and a pulley, and it was laying right there in that little spot. Didn't go to the ground, and I probably would have never found it. You know, I can go from there and say, oh, well, I'm glad I saw that, and just forget it. Or I can let it be a time that I say, thank you, Lord. I sure appreciate what you did for me. I need you. There is a place in Romans 12:3. 12th chapter, 3rd verse. I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. How high should I think? I need to go back that he remembers my frame.
Yes.
God himself remembers that I'm dust. So I shouldn't have a very high opinion of myself. And I'd like to look at another verse with that. 1 Corinthians 4 and 7. I need thee every hour. 7th verse says, who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if you look in that chapter, I think it's talking about the spiritual level that a person feels like they're on. And he's reminding them, well, what do you have that wasn't given to you?
Yes.
I believe that same thing would apply to us today. For us to realize, you know what? I need the Lord. And those are temporal things that I need him on. But what about for my spiritual walk with the Lord? I think through my life, how many messages since I was a child have I heard? Probably thousands of them.
Yes.
As I've gone to camp meetings. And what have, you know, in those, they told me a lot of things of what to do and what not to do. And what has come from that for me? I was saying, you remember when the Pharisee and the publican went down, it's church service time, and they've gone down to pray. And the Pharisee had reminders to the Lord of all the things that I've been doing right for you. And the publican, he just said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And it said this one went down justified to his house rather than the other. You know, my condition, you remember with to the seven churches, a message was written, a letter was written. It was written by a man out on an island in exile, but it really was sent by Jesus himself. Well, how those church received it, because I was thinking of one of them. You remember that church, the Laodiceans, they could have been saying, I tell you what, I've got it. I am rich. I'm increased with goods. I have need of nothing. And all the time, the message that was being sent back was, you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. What a difference. And I wonder about for myself. I want to be able to find out what's the Lord's message to me. And it is, Dan, I tell you what, you need me all the time.
Yeah.
Because for me to have a spiritual success, it's going to depend on me realizing how much I need the Lord. I was thinking about Joshua. What would it have been like when those walls fell down at Jericho? That had to be one good feeling that the people have honored, have done what the Lord told them, and now we have gained the victory. Well, there's just a little. He got his direction from the Lord. Now there's just a little city. Is the next one. You know, this message that we have today is not enough for me to say, yesterday I realized how much I need the Lord. There'll be another battle tomorrow, as it was with them. And on that battle, because it's just a small city, it's one of those, I got it. I can handle this one right here. And there were people killed from it. Did not realize that they really needed the Lord on that one. Did not realize there was sin in the camp. You know what I need in my life to realize in places that I feel like, you know what, I understand this situation. I know the way to take. This is the direction for me. I need to be saying, Lord, I tell you what, I need you.
Yes.
There's a song, and I think we sang it just a few services ago. I cannot find the way alone.
Yes.
It's almost the same heart that the first song that we sang is. As I journey through this veil of sorrow, the way seems so strange and unknown. Lord, I need a helping hand to borrow, for I cannot find the way alone. When the raging storms of life confound me, dear Lord, wilt thou keep me thine own?
Yes.
Let me feel thy precious arms around me, for I cannot find the way alone. I cannot find the way without thee. Dear Lord, look down from thy throne, and make thy light to shine about me, for I cannot find the way alone. You remember Joshua, even after those things that he learned, he went on down a little ways and a group of people came to him with, remember that verse that says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart.
Yes.
Don't lean to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he'll direct thy paths. He would have done it with Joshua. When that group of people came to him and their shoes were old, their clothes were worn, their bread was moldy, and they tell him, "We're from a far country. We would like to make a league." You know, that's something that they knew, somehow they had to have known. This people that walks with God, if you can just get them to give their word, they won't back up on it. And they're saying, "We came from a far country." And Joshua, without going to the Lord, it was one of those "I got it" kind of days. And folks, we all have them, to where I see this one. I can see all around. I see all of this. I look at the clothes. I look at the shoes. The bread is moldy. I've got it. I see it. And I miss a detail that would have changed everything. If he would have just said, "I tell you what, hold on for 30 minutes. I'll go talk to the Lord and I'll be right back." Things would have been so different for him. Because they honored their word with the Gibeonites, but it was a problem for them out in the future. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean to thine own understanding. You remember David, when he was with Jonathan and Saul was after him. David, one thing that David said was, this is 1 Samuel 20 and 3, talking to Jonathan, he said, "There is just one step between me and death." Now, you know what? That makes me realize I need thee every hour. And every one of us are in that same place. We are just one step from death. Should God, and I take for granted the things that the Lord gives me, life and breath and all things. The next time I draw in a breath of air, it's because the Lord gave it to me. I need to have an attitude of heart, just to where the Lord always knows, "Lord, I'm depending on you for everything." There's a reminder, and we always think about this. We need to think about it in our plans. In James, in the fourth chapter, you know, David had somebody pursuing him. We don't have to have that to be that close to death ourselves. So here's a reminder. In the fourth chapter, where it says, go to now, 13th verse. "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city. We'll continue there a year. We'll buy, we'll sell, and we'll get gain." You know how often each of us do that? We look out at plans. Right now, probably every one of us here is thinking about a few weeks from now, Monarch will be here, and what's my plans for that? And this one's just giving us a little quiet reminder. Those of us that plan for something out in the future, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, what is your life? It's even a vapor. It appeareth for a little time, then it vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we'll live and do this or that." For me to have an attitude of heart that, you know what, unless the Lord wills it, things won't go the way I planned for tomorrow or for the next days. But I tell you, when those things do happen, I think about the German folks. They can be really stirred in their spirit by everything that's happening. Or there's also a peace and a calmness of realizing that God's in control of all things. He allows this to happen to his people, and we may never understand why. But he could have allowed things. I remember when we were coming back from Germany one year, and we're in London, and everything is fine. We're ready to leave. And we start taxiing out for takeoff. And there's planes just lined up, one behind the other, behind the other. And we start taxiing out for takeoff. And a plane behind us calls up forward to them and says, "Hey, you got something running out of the left engine there. You probably need to have that checked." And so they pulled our plane over. And we sat, I don't know, it seemed like it was 3 hours or something. Well, while they were trying to repair it. Well, you know, if it would be bad enough to fly over land with taking a chance, but you hardly want to spill fuel for 10 hours and you wonder, will I still have enough, if it didn't catch on fire, will I still have enough to make it? So I was pretty happy that they pulled it over. Yes. But I would like to go. I don't want to have to wait. I want to go on home. So they send people out there and they pull the covers off the engine. They start working on it. And they come back on after an hour or something. They said, "We think we might have it. We tightened down some stuff and it seemed like it's maybe going to work." Well, that's pretty good, except I am going to be out over the ocean. I really hope he got it. He got it. And so they tested a little bit. And then, well, we're going to have to do something else. Well, finally, after all that time, they said, we're just not going to take a chance. Well, you know, we could be upset at them. Or we could say, I'll tell you what, I'd rather not take a chance with a 10-hour flight over the ocean. And so it delayed it all for us. But you know what? I can look at that and say, it can get my spirit all troubled. Or I can say, Lord, I tell you what, I appreciate you causing that to be noticed. Amen. Because things could have happened. You know, there'll be a lot of things in life that I'll never be able to attach. This is why that happened. But you know what? I can do the same thing with the Lord. Lord, you had some kind of reason.
Yes.
I haven't seen it. The folks from Germany, I can't tell you what the reason was for all that trouble that they're going through. But I believe the Lord allows it. And we can have the peace that the Lord wants to give us comes from that kind of knowledge that the things that happen in my life, I don't got it. I don't have it. I'm trusting in the Lord to send to me, to put in my path the things block it, if you need to block it.
Yes.
Because I need you to lead and guide me. There are places, after we look at this one, that tells us, watch out. Say, if the Lord wills and thinking in my heart, let that be a pattern to me. I was looking at areas in my life that show that a person needed God. Psalms 121, where he looks. I like to look at that one, Psalms 121. He says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. For that to be more than just head knowledge, but that it would be a part of my life, here's where I look for my help. There's another one in Psalms 46 and 1. Throughout Psalms, there's a lot of verses that we could pick up. It's 46 and 1. God is our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear. It's not I won't fear because I got it. But no, it's because God is our refuge and strength.
Yes.
A present help in trouble. There is another verse in Psalm 61 and 1. Because where am I going to go when trouble does hit? Look at this, 61 and 1. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed.
Yes.
See, this has moved into an area where I don't have it now. I need your help. And here he's saying, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The place that I can realize, and you know what, I shouldn't have to wait until the big trouble hits and I realize it. But just every day, in every event that happens every day, that I will say, there's a rock, there's a stabilizing force that is bigger than I am, that's higher than I am. And I want to be led to that. That verse of the song that we said, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Because maybe sometimes it is because I have said, I got this one. I can do this one. I have found in the last few weeks, more and more in the small things that I could do on my own that could change and go bad is to ask the Lord to help me with that.
Amen.
Because you know what? Then somehow it changes when it goes bad. Then I can just ask the Lord to continue with me and help me through it.
Yes.
Instead of, I got it. And you know, we would never, the thing is, there's a balance here. It's not that we'll do the same thing either way. Except that we're asking and we're recognizing God helping us out with it, with the simplest things. Trusting God, it starts to level out life's ups and downs. Whenever I start realizing, lead me to the rock that is higher than I am. Singing about that verse in Psalms 37 and 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now, what's he going to bring to pass? He's going to bring your way to pass. He didn't say he's going to do it just exactly like I wanted. But if I commit my way into the Lord, trust in him, and then He will direct my steps. He will go with me through that. Think about the ups and downs that Job had in his life. The things that could have gotten him down had he said, I've got it. But you know what? He, from the very beginning, he had his heart set on the Lord. And then the things all started going wrong for him. You know, those things that I feel like I can do it myself, when things go wrong, there's a different feeling to it. On his, as those things started going from him, each one coming to him and say, these things have been stolen from you. This is gone. This is gone. Seems he has nothing left yet. What does he do then? He fell down on the ground. Now, what would some people do? Have a fit. Fall down on the ground and go to kicking their feet. It won't help any. But not him. Fell down on the ground and he worshiped God. I was thinking about this for us today. I believe the Lord knows that it's hard for us sometimes to get the balance of the things for me to do and how much I need the Lord all the time. And he's not out to cut us off. He's not out to say, yeah, you tried that one on your own and you failed on it. But instead, what he wants to do is to teach us. I believe he's interested in teaching us to learn how to put my trust in him on the things that I feel like I could just go do them. Realizing that thing that I know how to do, I've done it many times before. With the Lord's help, He can walk me through it again. One little thing changing, and I really do need His help then. So I would like to close with another song, because there are lessons for us to learn.
Yes.
And this is one of them that I believe He wants me to learn. I'm starting to find out that in life we shouldn't have categories. These are mine. I do these because I know how to do them. When it's the big one, I'll take it to the Lord. But I learned to take everything to God in prayer. I don't know if this is in our blue book or not, but there's a song I'd like to close with. I'm learning to lean.
Yes.
I'd like to sing it. Maybe if you see it's in the blue book. Learning to lean, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I'd ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. The joy I can't explain fills my heart since the day I made Jesus my King. His blessed Holy Spirit is leading my way. He's teaching me and I'm learning to lean. Learning to lean. Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I'd ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Sad, broken hearted, at an altar I knelt, and I found God's peace so serene. And all that He asks is a childlike trust and a heart that is learning to lean. Learning to lean. Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I'd ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. There's glorious victory each day now for me. I have found His peace so serene. He helps me with each task, if only I'll ask. Every day now, I'm learning to lean. Learning to lean. Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Finding more power than I'd ever